الله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين بالقاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، ولعن الله الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. Today is the day of Ashura. In a hadith reported from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he speaks to one of his companions by the name of Ibn Shabib. He tells him, Yabna Shabib, in kunta bakiyan li shay' fabki lil Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. O son of Shabib, if you're going to cry for something, then you should cry for Husayn, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Why should you cry like this, O Ibn Shabib? فَإِنَّهُ ذُبِحَ كَمَا يُذْبَحُ الْكَبَشُ. Because when he was slaughtered the way that they slaughter the sheep. And he was killed along with 18 members of his family. Never has this earth seen anyone like them. This is a day of crying, a day of mourning for those who consider themselves to be lovers of the Ahlul Bayt and inshallah followers of the Ahlul Bayt as well. On this day, we are told that we should console each other for our grief by saying, عَظَّمَ اللَّهُ أُجُورَنَا وَأُجُورَكُمْ بِمُصَابِنَا بِالْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَجَعَلَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنَ الطَّالِبِينَ بِثَأْرِهِ مَعَ وَلِيِّهِ الْإِمَامِ الْمَهْدِي مِنْ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Before I begin the musibat portion, I want to just mention two points. When we look at the people who had come together on the plains of Karbala on the day of Ashura, both sides considered themselves to be Muslims. Both sides were people who would say their salah. Both sides were people who used to fast. Both sides were people who would identify themselves as Muslims. Yet, it's impossible for us to even compare the two when we're talking about which one is excellent and which one is virtuous and which one has more merit. And as we, 1400 years later, look at this incident that took place, we have to ask ourselves that what can we do to ensure that we are not so-called Muslims who, when we're put to the test, we might do the same thing as those who joined the army of Yazid. Many of those individuals were people who identified themselves as Shias of Imam Ali alayhi salam. They had fought on the side of Imam Ali in the Battle of Siffin. They had listened to many sermons of Imam Ali alayhi salam. They used to come and do Salat al-Jama'ah behind him. But on the day of Ashura, they found themselves aligned in the army against Imam Hussein alayhi salam. On the other hand, we see in the side of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the only people who were there The only people who stayed until the end, until the very end, were those pure souls who had reached such high statuses. What was it that led them to do that? I want to mention two characteristics. When we look at the history of what took place in all the different events, and we study the companions and the members of the Ahlul Bayt who were present on that day, we see that one of their characteristics is that they were people who were willing to take the challenge and not always take the easy way out. One of human tendencies is that we tend to be looking for the easy way out, the path of least resistance. Whatever is easy for us, whatever is quick, whatever gives us instant gratification, we go for it. It's not easy to wake up in the morning for our salah. And so many times we might be okay with perhaps not treating it with the importance it's given. It's not easy to control our temper and to be mild and to be agreeable, especially in the face of people who are being aggressive towards us. But in the family, if we want to be successful, then we have to do so for the sake of Allah. But we tend to take the path of least resistance. And so many other examples. When our shahwa, when our ghadab calls us to do something, our lust provokes us to do something and incites us to do something which is haram, it's not easy at that point especially to resist this temptation. But we see the example of these individuals is that every time they were tested along the way, they were able to resist and they were able to take the difficult decision even though it was difficult. When Ali Akbar alayhi salam finds out from his father that they are marching towards death, he asks his father, "Alasna ala al-haq?" Are we not on the path of truth? And his father, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, says that definitely we are on the path of truth. Now he's testing his son to see how is he going to respond. What would we respond if we were in that situation? Ali Akbar alayhi salam is a young man. He has a long life ahead of him. A lot of people, when they're young, they make excuses, thinking that because they have their long life, there'll be a chance to repent and fix their mistakes at the end. Immediately, Ali Akbar alayhi salam says, "Idan la nubali bil maut." If that's the case, that this is the right thing to do, we don't care about death. Because it's not always taking the path of least resistance. Sometimes you have to take the challenge. It's not easy. It's easy to be a cultural Muslim. It's easy to keep those parts of the culture, of the religion which match up with my culture. What about those parts that don't match up with my culture? It's easy to enjoy the benefits of living in a Western country like United States of America. What about those difficult things and the challenges that come when it comes to maintaining an Islamic dress code, when it comes to maintaining pure and halal income, when it comes to maintaining pure and halal relationships with opposite gender and with our family? That's where we have to ask, do we take the path of least resistance or do we try to make sure that we take the path of truth? When Qasim, who was even younger than Ali Akbar, he wasn't even somebody who had come of age yet, maybe 11 or 12 years old. When he gets tested by his uncle Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he's just a child. He says, "How do you find death? How is death to you?" Immediately, without any hesitation, Qasim, the son of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, responds, "Ahla min al asal. It is sweeter to me than honey." This is a lesson for us, brothers and sisters. A lesson for me. A lesson for you. Death is not something easy. Giving up everything is not easy. Sacrificing everything is not easy. But sometimes the easy way out is not the right way out. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Do people imagine that they will be left alone to say that we believe, but they will not be tested? Life is supposed to be a test, one test after another test after another test. and those pure souls upon whom we send our salam, and upon whom we say that if only we could be with you, every single one of them was tested and tested and tested, and only after passing through all these levels did they have the honor of being amongst the shuhada of Karbala. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is that of perseverance. Sometimes we take a resolution, we say that we are going to fix these things. We are going to address these problems that we have in our life. We're going to fix our state and make ourselves devout servants of Allah. But the difficulty comes about when it comes to persevering, keeping it up, istiqamat. But what we see in Karbala is that these individuals were not only those who could make the right choice even though it was difficult, but secondly, they were those who could persevere. What do you think if you happen to be in a situation where you're facing thousands of soldiers and suddenly somebody comes from behind and slices off your right arm? In that situation, most of us would be like, okay, I'm done. Now it's my time to get some first aid. I need to take care of myself. I've given up my sacrifice. But what we see in the example of Al-Abbas alayhi salam is that nothing will faze him. You can come at him with thousands of soldiers, thousands of arrows, whatever it may be, his right arm, his left arm, but when he has a mission from the Imam of his time, he will persevere until the very last breath that he has as a gift from Allah on this earth. Isn't this a lesson for us as well too? Living here in the western part of the world, when we go to the words of the Ahlul Bayt, they say that you have a mission as well too. Yes, you can live there, but you have to be very careful about the decisions that you make, about how you raise your family, about choosing pure environments to raise them in, about choosing pure educational institutes to educate them in, about taking the words of the Ahlul Bayt and the mission of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and spreading them to others as well too. And there's no excuse that we have for giving up or taking it easy or taking shortcuts. These are some of the incredible lessons that we can learn. Yes, it's a day of sadness, but it's also a day of recharge and of reawakening the hope. There is hope, even if we're here in this world, that there's tasks to be performed. There's growth to be had on an individual level, on a spiritual level, and on a community level, and on family levels as well too. And what better day than Ashura to make that commitment to Allah by the sake of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Please recite salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Before I begin the narrating the events, I just want to make a special mention of and a special salam to the Imam of our time. In Ziyarat Nahiya, when we see the words of Imam Al-Hujja when he's mourning and remembering what took place in Karbala, he says the following. He says, فَلَا أَنْدُبَنَّكَ صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً وَلَا أَبْكِيَنَّ عَلَيْكَ بَدَلَ الدُّمُوعِ دَمَاءً. He says that I weep over you every morning and every evening, and instead of shedding tears of water, the tears that I shed are tears of blood. And so before we begin, we make a dua. We say, Ya Rabb al-Husayn, bihaqq al-Husayn, ishfi sadr al-Husayn bidhuhur al-Hujjah. Ya Rabb al-Zahra, bihaqq al-Zahra, ishfi sadr al-Zahra bidhuhur al-Hujjah. Ya Rabb al-Hujjah, bihaqq al-Hujjah, ishfi sadr al-Hujjah bidhuhur al-Hujjah. Salawat ala Muhammad. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي
حلت بفنائك. صلى الله عليك يا سفينة النجاة، يا سيد الشهداء أيها المقتول عطشانا بكربلاء. Peace and blessings be upon you, O our Master Imam Hussein, the leader of the martyrs, the one who was slain on the banks of the Euphrates River while his mouth was thirsty. It was a day of Ashura. In the morning, Imam Hussein alayhi salam leads the prayer. He tells his companions that today is the day that Allah has given permission for you to be killed. Be patient and fight the enemy. He assembles his army. He gives his standard to his brother Abbas. He gives the left side to Zuhayr ibn Qayn and the right side of the army to Habib ibn Mawahim. When he sees the enemy army with the thousands of troops, he cries out, Allahumma anta thiqati fi kulli karam wa raja'i fi kulli shidda. O Allah, you are my hope in every difficulty. You are my hope in every hardship. How many times I've had worries that you have removed. Friends that have betrayed me, enemies who have gloated over my misfortune, and you have been my only hope, Ya Allah. He addresses the army, he tells them that you should know who I am. Am I not the son of your prophet's daughter? Am I not the son of his wasli, the son of his cousin? Am I not the one who was the son of the first to believe? Is Hamza not my uncle? Is Ja'far al-Tayyar not my uncle? He keeps on preaching to them, but they do not listen to him. The battle begins. One by one, the noble companions give their sacrifice. And then after them comes the time for the family of the Ahlul Bayt, Ali Akbar, Qasim, the other members one by one, until finally Abbas alayhi salam seeks permission to go to the battlefield. After Imam Hussein's backbone is broken, meaning that Abbas is martyred, Imam Hussein alayhi salam looks to his right. He sees no one left from among his soldiers. He looks to his left, he sees no one there. He cries out, Ama min mughithin yughithuna, Ama min mujirin yujiruna. Is there anyone to defend the sanctity of the Messenger of Allah? Is there anyone who will come to our rescue and who wishes to please Allah? The cry of the children is growing louder. They are so thirsty. The women are crying over the bodies that are lying on the battlefield. Who is there to respond? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is lying deathly ill in his tent. He hears the imam of his time, his beloved father, calling for help. He hears no one responding to the call. Somehow he finds it within himself to stand up. He comes out of his tent. He's leaning on a cane and dragging a sword. He was so ill that he could barely move. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam sees him, he tells his sister, أحبسيه لألا تخل الأرض من نسل آل محمد. Oh sister, make sure he doesn't come on the battlefield. There has to be someone left from the family of Muhammad on the earth. So they take him gently back into the tent. The time has come when Imam Hussein alayhi salam has no helpers to join him on the battlefield. He asks for some clothing that he can put on underneath, some clothing that no one would be interested in, some worn out, torn clothing. He knows the mentality of the people he's going to face. Perhaps he's thinking if it's worn and torn, they won't come and get it from him. But he has to bid one special farewell to his baby. They bring the baby to him. He says goodbye to it. He bids it farewell. He places him in his lap and kisses him. But he sees that he's so thirsty. He takes him to the enemy army and says, "Can you give him some water if you have no mercy on me? Then have mercy on this child." But instead of giving him some water, Harmala la'natullahi alayhi takes an arrow, shoots it towards him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam has the blood of his infant in his hands. They say that according to some reports, right then he dug a grave for the baby, he buried him. That sand of Karbala is mixed with the blood of so many martyrs, including the blood of the infant son of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is now charging the enemy. Brothers and sisters, it's the day of Ashura. Take your hearts there. Imagine your Imam is standing alone, thirsty, weary, abandoned by all the rest of the Muslims. His dearest and nearest are lying on the ground in their own blood. The sun is beating down in the desert sand of Karbala. Imam Hussein alayhi salam charges the enemy army. He cries out, "Al-mawtu awla min rukub al-'ar wal-'ar awla min dukhul an-nar." Death is better than accepting innobility, while innobility is better than the fire. He charges the left side of the army, cries out, "Ana al-Husayn ibn 'Ali, alaytu an la anthani أحمي عيالاتي أبي أمضي على دين النبي." I am Al-Hussein, the son of Ali. I never bow or bend. I protect my father's family, remaining on the Prophet's creed. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, throughout this time, his hope is only in Allah. He keeps on repeating to himself, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'ali al-'azim." One of the enemy, when he reports about what he saw, he says, "I've never seen somebody like this before. He is surrounded by so many enemies. His sons have been slaughtered. His family has been killed. His companions have been killed. But still I saw him so courageous, not giving up at all. Whenever he charged at the men in front of him, they would keep on running away from him. They don't know what to do." Umar ibn Sa'd shouts at them, saying that, "Don't you know who this is? This is the son of the killer of the Arabs. See how much hatred they had towards Ali. Attack him from all directions. That's the only way that you can take him down." They say that 4,000 arrows all at once were launched at the body of our Imam. 4,000 arrows. He has to come off of his horse to deal with this pain and blow to his body. The enemy sees that the Imam is on the ground off his horse. They see that the tents are now unprotected. Their lust for the war booty has gotten the best of them. Imam is still alive. They start advancing towards the tents of the women. The Imam tells them, "Waylakum ya shi'ata ali Abi Sufyan. إن لم تكن إن لم يكن لكم دين وكنتم لا تخافون المعاد فكونوا أحرارا في دنياكم هذا." O followers of Abu Sufyan, if you have no religion and you have no fear of returning to your maker, then at least be free people in your life. Don't chain yourselves to your desires. Umar ibn Sa'd and Shimr, they tell him, "What are you saying?" Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells them that while I'm fighting you, while I'm alive, leave the women alone, they have done nothing to you. So they turn on him and they keep on attacking him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam makes his way back to the tents. He has one more farewell to bid. He calls the ladies of his family, "Ya Zainab, Ya Umma Kulthum, Ya Sukaina, Ya Ruqayya, Ya Fatima, Alaykunna minnis salam." O Zainab, Umma Kulthum, Sukaina, Ruqayya, Fatima, these are his dear daughters, his sisters, I bid you farewell. His daughter Sukaina is standing a little bit separate from the others. The others are crying, hanging onto the horse of Hussein. He goes to her, his daughter. He asks her, "What is wrong, my dear daughter?" She says that, "Oh my father, are you preparing for death?" He says that, "How can somebody who has no helpers with him not prepare for death in this situation?" She tells him, "I have one request from you. Can you please send us back to the haram of our grandfather? Send us back to Medina. Let us find some peace there." He tells her that, "How can I do so? Everywhere we are surrounded." We can imagine that a conversation might have taken place like this between Imam Hussein and his daughter. He might have said something like this, "My dear one, this is the last time I will see you. Inshallah, the next time we will meet will be at the pond of Kothar. My dear one, do not weep so much for me. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for being a prisoner. For now you have to be patient, because there will be more occasions to weep and cry. You will see my body lying on the ground cut into pieces, while the blood from my veins will still be flowing." It is at this time when Umar ibn Sa'd tells his men, "Woe be to you, he is distracted. He's busy talking to his family. This is the time to attack him if you want to get him. If he ever gives his full attention to you, you will not be able to survive his attack." So they begin to assail him with their arrows. Even some of the arrows enter the tents and they cling to the clothes of the women. Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes out of the tent. He is very angry at them. Like an angry lion, he attacks them. Everyone who he could catch up with, he stabs with his sword. He keeps on repeating, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim." But after time, eventually, the thirst is getting to him. He wants some water so he can continue. He requests them for some water. They see that, "Don't you see how this water is flowing here? Pigs and dogs can drink from it, but we will never give you any water, O Hussein." One of them takes an arrow, fires at the forehead of the Imam. The blood starts to flow. He tells, "Allah, Allah, you see in what condition I am. O Allah, decrease their number, leave none of them on the face of this earth. Finally, Imam Hussein alayhi salam is too weary to fight. He stands to rest. There's a man who takes a stone and throws it at him. He hits his forehead. His blood is now running down his face. He takes his shirt to wipe the blood from his eyes. Another man takes a three-pronged arrow. He fires it at his chest. It settles in his heart. He cries out immediately, Bismillahi wa billahi wa ala millati Rasulillah. O Allah, they are killing a man besides whom there is no other son of your Prophet's daughter. Imam Hussein alayhi salam takes the blood in his hands, he rubs it in his face, and he says that this is how I will appear in front of my grandfather. I will be drenched in my own blood. I will tell him that these are the people who killed me. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is so tired, so weary, so injured. He sits down on the ground. They see his condition. They start taunting him. One of them strikes him on his left shoulder. Another one on the other shoulder. One of them stabs him on the side. One of our scholars, Marhum Maliki Tabrizi, has said that there has never been any prophet or divine successor or even human being who has ever encountered so much attacks. So much thirst that we cannot even comprehend how difficult it was. When the situation gets very difficult, Imam Hussein alayhi salam cries out, O Allah, it's your help that I seek. You are the one who could judge between us and these people. Some reports say that he is lying there for 3 hours on the ground covered in blood. He cries out, Sabran ala qada'ika ya Rab. In this condition, I only have patience, ya Allah. La ilaha siwak, ya ghiyath al-mustaghithin. Umm Kulthum and Zainab are seeing him in this situation. He is now on the ground. Umm Kulthum cries out, Wa Muhammada, Wa Abata, Wa Aliya, Wa Ja'fara, Wa Hamzata, Hada Husaynun Bil'Ara, Dari'un Bikarbala. This is Hussein on the open ground of Karbala. The enemy is now coming near. Umar ibn Sa'd is encouraging them to finish off the deed. Shimmer and the others are gathered there. Zainab alayhi salam sees what they are going to do. She cries out to Umar. She says that, Oh Umar, ayuqtalu Abu Abdullah wa anta tanzuru ilay. Will Abu Abdullah be killed and you are just looking at him? He turns his face away. His tears were coming in his beard, but he doesn't respond to the daughter of Ali, the granddaughter of the Prophet. She tells them, Wayhakum ama fikum Muslim? Is there no Muslim amongst you? The only help that she has now is Rasulullah. She turns towards Medina and asks Rasulullah for help. A poet has said this very beautifully. He says, He ran and I ran. He ran towards the killing pit while I ran towards the killer himself. He sat down and I sat down. He sat down on my brother's chest. I sat down unable to bear what I am seeing. He threw and I threw. He threw the dagger from his belt while I threw a sigh of grief from my chest. He severed and I severed. He severed my brother's head, while I severed my hope and all but Allah. Umar ibn Sa'd tells him to finish off the deed. Shimmer goes on the chest of the Imam. Imam looks at him feebly and he says that, Ya waylaka man ant, who are you? Faqad irtaqayta martaqan azeema. You have mounted a very great position here. He takes hold of his holy beard. He takes out his sword. He begins to commit the deed. The angels are complaining. They are crying out, according to hadith, that will this such a thing happen to the divine representative on the earth? And Allah tells them that there will be the Mahdi who will seek revenge for this blood that has been spilled. They say that the horse of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was aware of what was happening. He is making his way back to the tents of the women. The women are anxiously waiting to find out what happened to Imam Hussein. When they see the horse coming, they are thinking, is Imam Hussein going to be on the horse or not? But they see that the horse is alone without a rider. One of the daughters of Imam Hussein might have addressed the horse saying, Ya Jawad Abi, the horse of my father, I have one question for you. Hal suqiya abi am qutila atshana? When my father was killed, did they give him some water, or was he killed when his mouth was thirsty? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.